This episode is brought to you by Intermind Sports. If you're wondering about how to get more consistency in your sporting life, you may want to look at the mental side of your game. How do you create a great athlete? Intermind Sports, a Canadian-based group, has created the ultimate online program to develop your whole game. Imagine 95 mental lessons for only $95 Canadian. With how brutal our dollar is, that's like $50 American. So easy. Just go to intermindsports.com and sign up today. Hockey players at an elite level need to be at top physical and mental shape. Save money on regular sports therapists who can cost up to $300 per session. Probably an American. Athletes worldwide are rating this program a perfect 10. If you're a serious athlete, you gotta try it. Intermind Sports.
I'm the veteran Les Binkley from the Toronto Toros. His record, 4 wins, 4 losses, his average 3.74. He is looking for his first shutout of the season.
What up, what up? Crazy week in the NHL. We got a ton to talk about. We'll discuss some of those suspensions, questionable calls, how much we hate video replay. A lot of NHL rumors going on also. Take a look at this year's upcoming NHL draft. Some major junior prospect report, CHL top 10's out. Go over that one as always. College hockey rankings for week 17. And special guest, we got Chris Faber from the Canuck Way coming on, joining us, talk a little bit of Canucks. We also got what's trending going through Twitter again. It's been huge. 612,000 views on that Anderson silver medal toss video. Thanks to everyone who follows us on Twitter at World Honky RPT. That's all to come. World Honky Report with Cody Jansen and Adam Rubentrout starts now. Joined good buddy, as always, weekly Friday talks here with Adam Rubentrout. Adam, buddy, how's it going?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. It is freaking snowing outside, and you wouldn't believe how hard it's coming down. Like, it's a blizzard. We got a snowfall warning today, and I was like, all right, 5 centimeters, nothing to it. And all of a sudden, it starts, it's crazy. Not sure if I'm going to be able to find my truck out there in the morning.
Yeah, apparently it's coming to Saskatchewan overnight, but I hope not. Fingers crossed.
That'll be fun. Do you still walk to school nowadays, or what?
No, I drive to the bus stop and then take the bus. Well, I had to switch up my parking ticket because buddy at whatever company owned the parking lot put a warning on my car as I was like walking to the bus stop. I stopped and I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Wait, you drive to the bus stop instead of just driving to school?
Yeah, because there's no parking spots and like you have to walk like 2 kilometers in some places. And, like, it's free to take the bus, too, so it's, like, less further to drive.
Well, that's not bad, then, I guess, if it's free, but still seems like a waste of gas. Not going to say we're environmentally friendly here. We are taking numerous vehicles to get to school, but, yeah, kids mentality, you could say. Could say, to say the least. But your California trip. We haven't even got to that. We might as well get to that. Last weekend, you know, you're enjoying the sun. You took time of your day, actually, to join the fellas here, World Hockey Report. Follow us on Twitter, at World Hockey RPT. Thanks, Twitter handle. You suck, and you're not long enough. But, yeah, how was the California sun?
There wasn't really much of a California sun. Like, last Saturday night, it was fucking 55 degrees or something like that, so I might as well have just been in Canada for that matter. But it was good though. Like, it's pretty humid there, a little windy, but no, it was a good trip. Got to check out Dodger Stadium, which is, it's in a weird location because, you know, most like parks like that, you know, you'd think that you would just see them right away as soon as you're getting close, but you literally have to get to the top of the hill and then you're like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, Dodger Stadium. So it's a pretty cool stadium. It's actually not that nice inside. I was kind of like, you know, it's not bad or anything, but kind of old. It's nice. I was there for the Outdoor Classic a while back, way back in the day now. Kings Ducks, you remember that one?
Oh, yes.
I believe half of the NHL chirping video comes from that game and Drew Doughty and the boys. They were pretty fired up that one. It was a good old Anaheim era. Was he Beacon Maroon?
Yeah, he was like chirping that he should still be in the minors or something like that.
I mean, there was so many that came from it. It was funny. It was a great game. I mean, the seats were pretty weird, actually. Like, it's a pretty shitty venue for a hockey game. Like, realistically, I probably couldn't freaking send a jet to the ice surface. We were far away. It was an awkward angle, but yet again, cool experience. You go to a game in shorts, a t-shirt, and just nice little set of flops there. Wasn't bad by any means, so can't complain, but you know, Cali's not bad. You gotta see your bro play some juniors down there, though, eh? How did that go?
It was good. Like, the team they played wasn't one of the stronger teams, so they beat them by, like, 3 or 4 both games, but it's still, like, pretty good hockey, I'd say. There's some guys that could, you know, definitely be impact players in Junior A in Canada. Like, there's obviously the guys that are there that are just kind of there, and they're paying whatever to be on the team, but they're not exactly good players.
Now, did Little Trout drop the gloves?
No, he didn't. Oh. He tries. He's a big Matthew Tkachuk guy, so he definitely gets under guys' skin. Like, I think he's dropped the gloves 3 times since September, which is, it's a decent pace to be on.
Just don't tell me he wears those Canadian 3-point visors still. Please don't.
No, I think they're just the Bauer Pro Clip ones or whatever.
Okay, those clips are still kind of shitty, but we'll let him have it. That's not bad. I hate guys that wear those CCM visors down there. Since you're allowed to wear, like, the Oakley ones and stuff, which are sick. And then there'd just be those, like, couple of duds that would wear the big dub bubs. And, yeah, talk about frustrate someone or shred someone's knuckle. Couldn't imagine punching one of those. It hurts. Not fun at all. It's like a bubble, basically.
You'd be putting the ice on the knuckles.
Ice on the knuckles for the week. That's an understatement there. But, yeah, the good old dub ass, it's looking to move into Canada here. I was getting a bunch of Twitter messages the other day. I actually wrote a little blog up on the Dub S, possibly looking at coming to Canada, a couple of potential cities, gained some traction with some of the AJHL media guys and broadcasters there. They were firing me some messages, looking for some insight, and had to give them a little bit of what I could, but I don't know if I can really see it succeeding up here. It's a good method where it's a great development league. It is pay to play, you know it, but you get what you pay for in some senses. You're on the ice a lot more. You're going to develop a lot more than Junior B. So, yeah, it's got its good and it's got its bad, like any league out there. And, yeah, hope to see it grow a little bit. The little bro getting any college offers, looking at that, maybe go hit up the UND.
No, you have to be like a 70-point guy in the USHL to go UND.
Come on. Keep your hopes up. It's your brother. Think positive. You're supposed to be a good support from him or something, you know? Maybe they're looking for a tough guy.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't even know. Is there anything as a college tough guy? I don't know any tough guys who really went through college.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, the toughest guy in college is probably, like, Jordan Greenway, that big guy who's on the States Olympic team. He seems like a tough guy, but it's not like you can fight or anything. Or, like, it's not recommended that you fight, I guess.
Just a little cage rager for the boys. He's at DU there. So it's pretty sick that you'll see him and Troy Terry on the Olympics. That's pretty cool. Hey, quick little plug here for the website. You know, Olympics are coming up. Anyone want to start writing or blogging, you know, just fire us an email. worldhockeyreportmanager@gmail.com. We'll get you on. We'll get you set up. You know what? Looking for people to do some recaps. Maybe we'll toss you some cash, some beer money. Help you out. Looking to cover all those games. All the in-depth coverage coming. World Hockey Report, check it out. Got some pretty cool blogs up there this week. Couple of them did good. Adam, we went through some draft prospects. We'll get into that in this show. But NHL, it was a busy week. Let's start it off with probably the biggest thing, the Brad Marchand suspension. Got 5 games. That was a pretty crazy elbow. Like, that's a ballsy flying bow to throw. What did you think of that one?
I thought 5 games was the right amount. Here's my thing with Brad Marchand. He's, what would you say, a top 3 or 4 left winger in the league?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, he can do it all.
Yeah, he's a great player. And, you know, he could be on my team any day. And the thing about guys like that is, when he was younger, he was probably considered, you know, too small and nobody gave him a chance, so he had to play like that feisty attitude where he pissed guys off. And once you have that and it makes you successful, there's no taking that out of you. Like, you know, it's a dirty play and he's probably a bitch to play against, but I think that's what's like, not like elbowing a guy in the head. But I think, you know, playing like on the line is kind of the way he had to play to get to the NHL. And now that he's here, you know, he could tone it down a bit. But I just think that you can't take it out of him.
It makes him scary. Like, I mean, you see even guys are scared to go near him. It doesn't matter if you want to call it dirty, cheap, whatever. You know, he plays on the edge. A lot of guys did. Man, he's effective. He's effective. I mean, yeah, he can score. Like, he just threw the pants off of Schneider there, like, the shift before. He goes and throws a flying bow. Didn't get penalized on the play, actually. That's a fun fact for you. I'd guess 6 since he was a repeat offender. But I understand it's lower. I mean, the NHL hurts when he's not in the lineup. He is someone who, if I was in the Boston area or near, I'd want to watch. I mean, he is... He kind of does it all out there, and at a small frame, exciting, he's fast, he's good, and he plays on the edge. Gotta love seeing that.
Yeah, and like I honestly agree with star treatment when it comes to suspensions. It might sound stupid, but there's probably 5-10% of the rink, of the fans in the rink that night, that go to one NHL game a year. And if they don't get to see Brad Marchand play, I think they're going to be very disappointed. So, you know, it definitely sells tickets by having a guy like that in the lineup, especially, like, with how good his line is. And you get to see the best line this year play together, but not when Brad Marchand's not in the lineup.
Now, speaking of any chellers out of a lineup here, the Russian Olympic team, their roster was released yesterday? I think it was yesterday. A couple of NHLers are guys on NHL contracts, former ones, not on the lineup. Kind of shocking. I mean, Markov, Nichushkin. You obviously saw the roster. It looks like a freaking KHL all-star team. Do you think they're the favorites, or what do you even think of their roster coming up here?
They're definitely up there. You never know on goaltending with anybody in Russia, really. Like, obviously, Bobrovsky would be a guarantee if he was there, but, you know, World Juniors, World Championships, it just seems like they can't find the goaltending ever, and it's either they have really great tournaments or just they embarrass themselves. Having Nikita Nesterov on the team over Markov didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but, you know, that's just how Russian coaches are sometimes. They just make these outrageous decisions. And, yeah, you know, Nichushkin, he's kind of really fallen off the map. I remember watching the World Championships last year, and Ray Ferraro goes, you know, I'm not overly sure that Nichushkin has the best hockey sense. And then he's like, actually, I am sure, and I don't think he has any.
Gotta love Ray. Ray has to be one of, I guess, kind of our favorite NHL announcers, commentators. He's freaking hilarious. He's so brutally honest. I just love it. But speaking on the Russian goaltending there a little bit, it's kind of tough when you do look at some of these Russian goaltenders, because they're top goalies. They play the season on those top teams like CSKA Moscow, like the Red Army team there, SKA St. Petersburg, the Stack team. It's they don't get tested throughout the season. Like, what are you supposed to do? And you get 15 shots a game. Your team's stacked compared to the rest of Siberia who you're playing against. I mean, you're playing against a bunch of peasants when your team can pay guys $9.5 million or whatever stupid they paid Radulov there a few years ago. Like, they've got money and they've got the best teams, no doubt about it. And now you're just going to throw these tendies in a situation where they'll probably see more shots than they've ever seen all season, maybe even combined. But yeah, Shestorkin and Nett, he was good in the World Juniors a while ago. Sorokin, I think he's still with the Red Army there. He'll probably be their starter, I would have to guess, but I don't know. Not sold on that. Their offense is deadly, though. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Kovalchuk does. I don't want to say he's old, but you know what? He's not young anymore. Datsyuk, they're both incredible. I really hope one of those AHL guys or even someone like Greenway or someone just takes a run at him. Could you imagine? Someone just absolutely decapitates Pavel Datsyuk.
Yeah, that I couldn't imagine what that would happen, because he's basically like they're one of their only, like their biggest hope to win that tournament, and you need him playing 22 minutes a night just to win.
I don't know, they got Moisak in there, Gregorenko, I think he played in Buffalo, Shipachev, the little bitch that played in Vegas and cried his way out. So, we'll see. It'll be interesting. It's cool to see their roster obviously get stacked here for the Olympics. I don't even think they're Team Russia anymore. They're like Olympic athletes of Russia or from Russia. So, have fun with your neutral gray uniforms. Nothing too pretty about those. Kind of disappointing, actually, to say the least. But other NHL talk, you know what? We are getting close to the All-Star weekend here. Quick, we'll put you on the spot, little hot take. Who's the best team in the NHL right now?
Tampa Bay.
I'd agree. They are a dominant team. Top to bottom, their goaltending's playing good. Their defense is looking good. Their offense is still firing. I like Vegas. Don't get me wrong. I am not selling the farm on Vegas yet. They're still going to be one of my Stanley Cup contenders.
I just think that Vegas kind of lacks the type of star power you need and the to win a cup. You know, it could get them to the second or third round. But I think not having a true number one center, it's going to hurt them as far as matchups go.
100%.
Because, you know, let's say you play a team like Anaheim and you go Getzlaff, Kessler, Henrik down the middle. Well, who's Vegas countering with? And then you go play Nashville where they have Johansson, Turris, and Nick Bonino down the middle. And I just think eventually that'll be too much. As we saw last year with Nashville where Johansson got hurt and then they just couldn't match up against Crosby and Malkin.
It's a real interesting lineup battle there. I do like Vegas just for the fact that they've got that kind of new kid on the block swag right there. They're a team where teams struggle, everyone except for Edmonton, and, well, I'll tell you for free, Edmonton's not going to be in the playoffs. Sorry to hurt your ego there, Oilers fans. They are pathetic on the penalty kill. We'll get to that later also. But, yeah, Vegas, Nashville. It'll be a good Stanley Cup final. I'm actually really looking forward to this one. Last year had some hype with the whole Pittsburgh-Nashville. Like, Smashville was electric. But this year, I don't know, just for some reason, looking forward to it more than normal. Normal, I definitely would say. Back on that suspension talk, though, we did throw up a Twitter poll on our Twitter there, obviously. World Hockey Report. It's World Hockey RPT. We asked you guys, what do you think of Marchand's suspension? It was 5 games. I mean, do you agree with it? 46% said yes, 32% said no, and the fun one, 22% said ban him from the league. So, thanks for voting. I mean, we do appreciate everyone who does follow us on there and interact a bit. Makes it more fun to throw out some of these Twitter polls. Obviously, that was a pretty big talk this week, Marchand. But other big talk this week, it was a pretty busy week. A cool one. I seen it on Facebook. The Mighty Ducks. The old Disney series, you might not have even been born when they started. Mighty Ducks could return as a TV series. Did you see that? And what did you think of that? Like, is that something where if you saw that's coming out, is that, like, big for you? Or are you just not a big Mighty Ducks fan?
Oh, I'm the biggest Mighty Ducks fan. You know, Bombay, Fulton, Portman, Conway, Averman, all the boys, Goldberg. You know, I'm a big Mighty Ducks fan. And I kind of had the same reaction to when I saw that The Office was coming out, where it's like, how can you go back to a series like with you know, 10 years after it's been out? And, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where you don't really know how to feel with it, because it's either going to be good and bearable to watch, or it either could actually ruin your view on the first series. But it'd be kind of cool. I saw a J.J. Watt tweet. Something about, I'm only watching the show if Bombay runs a hockey shop and all the boys are playing in the men's league or something like that.
That's kind of funny. I did see a bunch of that, and it was like, who's going to play Bombay? That's kind of, and then I seen one, speaking of The Office there, it's pretty cool that they'll be coming back as well. I'm not going to complain there at all. But, it's like, who's going to play Bombay? And it was Michael Scott or Steve Carell, whatever, from The Office. So, that, if he would be playing Bombay, there's no way that show could be a bust. Everyone's going to watch Mighty Ducks. I mean, that was one of the most electric hockey series as a kid. There's nothing like the Americans playing Trinidad and Tobago in a Junior Olympics game like that. That atmosphere was electric.
Goodwill Pee-wee games.
Yeah, the Goodwill Pee-wee games. I'm pretty sure it was in L.A. or something. That So many good memories watching that as kids. It really, D3 was a bust. I'm still not sold on that one. It was a really weird one. They took a different road. Wasn't a big fan.
D3 was kind of sick, though. I like how the new coach was like, he was just a dick to everyone, and all the players just thought they could joke around, and he wanted none of that, which that made it kind of funny.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll go with funny for some of it. The funny part was when they pranked the varsity team. They like put like shit in the bags and gave it to him as brownies or something. Classic move right there. Gotta love them. The Ducks. And then they even changed the whole school name from like Warriors to Ducks. What a movie. What a movie series. Gotta be one of the best for sure. Slapshot's obviously up there, but Slapshot. Exact same. Once you get to that third one, you better have a damn good idea of what you're doing, because if you lose it with that third one, your whole series just goes downhill a bit. Other things still on the topic of NHL, we'll get back to that. A couple of things I seen today. Slava Voyanov, you remember that name?
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I am pretty sure he beat up his wife or his girlfriend or his kid. Something like that when he was in L.A., but rumor has it, could be making a return to the NHL. What happens in his first game here? Let's just walk me through a situation if you were in the show here and not the Saskatoon show. What happens? You line up against Slava Voyanov. Are guys going to take like offense to this? Is someone going to tune him in? Or are they just going to let this one fly like, okay, you just beat up your wife, girlfriend, or kids? We're not too sure, but... Well, what's going to be the reaction like?
I personally don't think that he gets allowed back in the league. But if he was, I think that the guys on the other team would just be like, he's just another player out here. We're just going to mind our own business, and Russia's a messed up country. So that'll probably be their view, where they don't fully know what happened. But
how do you get him on your team, yeah, though? Like, that's such a scummy situation, everything to do with it. That's that shit that should stay away from hockey, and you really hope it does. So if they start banning guys like that, I've got no problem at all, and, you know, might even give Gary Bettman some props. But, yeah, I see he's taking a look at a comeback, so maybe just stay in the KHL. We don't want you over here. Slava, stay home. I don't have a Russian accent to go with that or anything. Goalie interference. There was a couple of big things this week. I know Toronto was the victim of a few. Not a Maple Leafs fan, Babcock, you suck, even though you're from Saskatoon, which is pretty cool, but, you know, everyone says you're kind of a douche on the bench, so, yep, not a fan. But goalie interference, what do you think of the whole video review in the NHL and where that's going?
I personally don't like it. I just think that it takes out from the game, and, you know, more so the offside one's worse. Like, goalie interference, I definitely see, like, think it's fine. I do think it needs to be altered, though. But the offside one, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, so many times it'll happen where a team will gain the zone and get possession for 40 seconds and score, and then the offside, somebody challenges for offside and happened 40 seconds ago and had basically no effect on the goal, and it's all, is your skate on the ice? Is it an inch off the ice? Like, which is ridiculous, and they're trying to get rid of the, I think it was the Matt Duchene goal in Colorado a couple of years ago where he was like 3 feet offside.
I was going to bring that one up. I was going to say that is the exact reason they have it, because that was outrageous. But I do agree, the offside. Video review in L is stupid. It's like the NFL. It slows down the game. It's no fun. I hate seeing coaches look at their freaking iPads on the bench. I mean, you look like my 10-year-old cousins at Christmas. It's just enjoy the game. Be a real coach. Don Cherry didn't use an iPad. He's the best coach of all time. So, yeah, that's my take there on a video review. Not a fan. The goalie interference, though, it's so hit or miss. Just let the refs do their job. I mean, you're hiring two of them. They're professionals. Linesmen, exact same. Let them do their job. Let them make those calls. You get one wrong, it happens. End of the world. I mean, not the end of the world. Well, we'll go with that one. But, yeah, I mean, players make mistakes. Refs are going to make mistakes. Video review, very questionable. Probably something the NHL could do without. And, you know, I feel like that even ruins a fan experience as well. It's it's just something that really slows down the game. It kind of hurts the flow of the game. I'm not a fan. Yeah, getting to another article I've seen. Top trade bait guys on... could have been one of the other sports networks there. Top 30 players for the trade. Number one, they got Evander Kane. Number two, Patrick Maroon. Mike Green, Mike Hoffman, Max Pacioretty. Which one of these five do you see gone first?
Probably. You know, I think Evander Kane and Patrick Maroon are the 100% most likely ones to go. Where, you know, those like Hoffman and Pacioretty, those are kind of guys where if their teams were in playoff spots or if they were set up well for the next 2 years, then obviously Montreal and Ottawa would keep them. But, you know, they're not really set up well for either of the next 2 years. So I think that, like, those ones are so tough to make at the deadline, because if you're trading with the team and you want their first-round pick, and let's say that they're a bubble playoff team and they make it but lose in the first round, it's a 16th. But they make it to the cup final, it's a 30th, where, you know, that's what's tough about those, like, bigger types of trades. Like, Evander Kane's a no-brainer because this is last year. And, you know, Maroon also, it's his last year. And he could provide some value toughness in the playoffs. But I'd say Kane's the most likely.
I'd agree. I think one guy that everyone's kind of overlooking in this one would be Rick Nash of New York. He's Grabner too. They've got him up here. He's a very cheap deal, but he's a UFA, right? So Rick Nash is more expensive. He's underperforming this year, but just in general, he's a good forward. There is no denying that. He's a pretty elite forward in the NHL. Got a great resume, good leadership. If he was cheaper, you could say the Oilers used him. They could use a leader on their team. They're just a bunch of pansies over there. But another one I seen, Jordan Kyrou from St. Louis. Now, this is interesting because we followed the World Juniors there pretty hardcore. Kyrou was not bad at all. I think he definitely helped him stock. He's obviously 19 years old there. He's on a rookie salary, so he's not going to be costing anyone anything. I'm not sure how quick he can make that jump to the show, but if St. Louis is looking to dish him off, well, never know. Some team could get pretty lucky.
I think the only reason they would dish him off is, you know, if they're getting a Hoffman or Pacioretty back, where, you know, Montreal or Ottawa would want an A-level prospect for them.
Makes sense. Now, goaltenders. Goaltenders, who do you see getting dished off? I see on the list it's Aaron Dell, Peter Mrazek, and Robin Lehner. I don't know. Aaron Dell, come on, he's a backup. He's cheap, but I haven't really been impressed with him. He's solid. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's a bad goaltender. I just haven't been impressed. I think there's better out there. Peter Mrazek, meh. I like him. He's a solid backup. He is... I don't think he'll become a starter in the league. I love him because he had that great World Juniors back in like 2011 or 2012 when he was beating the Americans and stuff, and he was just an absolute riot to watch. But and then Robin Lehner, I don't think anyone wants him. That's a expensive deal for an overrated goalie with a horrible attitude. And yeah, if someone takes Lehner, well, they're stupid. That is as brutally honest as you can get.
Yeah, and like, you look at those three guys, and if you're a team like the Islanders, who's in a really tough division, but, you know, it's your last year with Tavares and you really want to make the playoffs, are any of those guys really an upgrade over Greiss or Halak? Probably not. Like, none of those five goalies that I mentioned are good, but, like, you're not going to trade futures just to get a guy who you think might give you maybe, like, one or two more saves a game. Like, it really doesn't make sense for anybody to take those guys.
I would 100% agree with that. I really don't see any one of these getting moved. The only one potentially would be Peter Mrazek. He's a restricted free agent, though, so, you know, if you could sign him next year at a lower contract, maybe. I might just be spitballing here. I really don't think he'll get $4 million if he goes to free agency or anything. Or even if Detroit decides to re-sign him. Don't think he'll get $4 million again, but you never know. Not sold on them at all. Other than that, NHL, not too much going on this weekend. All-star
coaching.
Coaching. I forgot about that one. That was one of the first ones. Well, I know you've got a lot to say about this. So first NHL coach fired this season. This one has to be in the season, though. Let's hear it. First one fired.
Well, speaking of coaching, this part of the episode is brought to you by Wits Nutrition and Performance, offering personal training, custom supplementation, and meal plans, training splits, and macronutrient coaching. All plans are tailored specific for the individual's lifestyle and goals. Find the balance between your social life and the gym. Remember that, Cody.
Stop
hitting the gym.
I've hit the gym a couple of times this year. How about you this month, though? What's your count at?
No comment, but remembering fitness is a marathon, not a sprint. Call 780-689-1871 or email at wnperformance2018@gmail.com.
Hey, that's Curtis Whitney there, Wits Nutrition and Performance. Great guy. Adam, that was a subpar commercial read, but you know what? Hey, first one, excited to have him on board. It's pretty cool. Anything you need, get a hold of them. Pretty jacked guy. He also dropped a clothing line. That's pretty cool. We'll get to our cool new announcement at the end. But NHL coaches, Adam, we were talking about that. Who's going to be the first one canned this season?
I was just looking at the standings, and, you know, like, the teams in last place, they all kind of have first-year coaches. Like, Buffalo has Phil Housley. He's not going anywhere. Vancouver has Travis Green. He's not going anywhere. He's actually done a really nice job with that team. Arizona has Rick Tocchet. They're already paying out Dave Tippett for the last 1 or 2 years, and Arizona's financially strapped, so he's not going anywhere. If I was to pick one, probably Ottawa and Guy Boucher. I just think that, you know, his style of coaching is good for a couple of years, but eventually it wears on the players and the fans too, quite frankly, by being like the worst team in the league to watch all the time, just from a entertainment perspective. But, you know, Edmonton, I think McClellan would be gone in an off-season move. And I do think in Chicago that Joel Quenneville seems like he's kind of sick of the organization there, and they need a Daryl Sutter type move where, you know, like what happened with Sutter and the Kings, where, you know, you won a couple cups, you know, got bounced in the first round, and, you know, I think it's just time for everyone that, you know, you need to hit the reset. And I think that Quenneville and McClellan could be goners by the off-season.
Well, you took mine in Ottawa, so not too happy with you there. But no, the McClellan one, I don't actually like. Who do you replace him with that's better, for one? But also, when's it about time that these players start taking ownership? I mean, McDavid's been subpar. Talbot, how about you make a save? You've been pulled 6 times this year. It's the most in the show. Time to step up. Lucic, you're a turnover factory. Darnell Nurse, you're supposed to be one of the best young D-men in the league. I don't know. I think it's just got to be time that the players, how about you start taking some ownership? I agree, Shirelli's made some absolute garbage moves. I agree.
I mean,
McClellan should probably be changing some stuff up. But yet again, they got the best penalty kill on the road. Let's not blame their penalty kill formation for their home PK. I mean, that's just a lack of guys buying in, a lack of effort, a lack of guys wanting to win. Taking pride, also some pretty horrendous jerseys, the Tide Pod special, but yet again, no, I don't see McClellan going, and if he does, I hope he finds another job. I think he's a good guy. I think he's going to have a career somewhere. Maybe that Oilers group is kind of a tough one to deal with. I don't know. I'm not in the dressing room, neither of you. No one knows.
It's just one of those things, like, and on the penalty kill, Zach Cashin's been like one of the regular kind of 6 or 7 forwards that got sent out. He has 3 block shots this year. Clearly you're not doing something right if you're on the penalty kill and the pucks hit you 3 times.
And that's like your big buffoon on front too. Like, he's a big dude. Like, you know, you see him as like a tough, intimidating dude. 3 block shots, that's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. And like, I think this is like 85 to 90% on Peter Chiarelli. he's royally fucked this team up so badly to the point where you look at some of the holes in their lineup and they're honestly not fixable. They have seven or eight guys who probably won't be in the league in the next 3 years. Like Sekera, Russell, they'll both be retired. Montoya won't be in the league. Camilleri won't. Lucic, who knows what to do with that? Like, he was decent last year from a locker room perspective, but he has 6 years left at $6 billion, and he's playing on the fourth line tonight, so have fun with that. Patrick Maroon's probably only got 3 years left. Drake Kajula, to me, is a player who's going to go overseas and play well, like kind of like a Derek Roy type guy, where, you know, you have a, like, Derek Roy is better than he is, but where you have, like, a couple of good seasons, and then eventually it just gets too much for you. And then, yeah, like, Kara, Slepyshev, Pat Green, and, like, their whole team. And then you look at the prospect coverage, and, like, who's coming up through the systems? There's literally nobody coming up through the systems.
Yamamoto,
either.
Baby!
And, like, that's what's so embarrassing. Like, your prospect coverage's empty because you traded a first or second-round pick for Griffin Reinhardt. And you literally have nothing. And, like, that's what's tough for Oilers fans. You have $21 million committed to two guys who are awesome players, but it's just unexplainable at this point.
Is Draisaitl actually awesome? We're going to go with awesome on Draisaitl. I think that's an underperforming, overpaid, probably, I don't want to say team cancer yet, but I don't know. I'm not sold on him. I don't think he's got a good attitude. Heard rumors about his major junior days in K-Town and PA. I mean, I would hate to be in PA too. I'd probably have a bad attitude there. But yeah, Draisaitl, not sold on him, overpaid. He had one good year, great. You know, he was solid in the dub, great. Meh. Okay, back to coaching though. My pick, Claude Julien in Montreal. It was a jump at move last year when they fired Terry and they brought in Julien. It's not working out. I mean, don't hold your breath on this guy going to turn that franchise around. Montreal will never win a Stanley Cup again. They are horrible. That's a horrible town. Quebec sucks. Everything about it sucks. Claude Julien, it's probably best for him to get fired too. I mean, you wish the guy well. He did great in Boston. It's not going to work in Montreal.
He won't though. Like, I think you look at it and you're like, yeah, you know, he has done a very good job, but they gave him a 5-year deal at $5 million per year.
That's true. I mean, looking at the numbers-wise, it's going to be a harsh payout, but just how that team's underperforming. But yet again, I mean, I think the group in the locker room there sucks as well, so what can you do? But end of the day, I guess, I'm going to go with Julien there. So that's my pick. One more NHL topic, All-Star Game coming up this weekend. Couple of replacements. There was one that you had a nice little Twitter rant about there. Brayden Point replacing Hedman. You've seen Point obviously play throughout the whole Western League and all that jazz. What do you think of him as a player, and how's he going to actually hold up in an All-Star game?
I think he's going to do awesome. He's probably built for 3-on-3. Although I saw a stat today that he's one of four or five guys, like him, McKinnon, Barzal, McDavid, and somebody else led the league in 5-on-5 scoring. So, you know, it just goes to show how good of a player he is. And, you know, I've been a big fan, and when Moose Jaw drafted him, Tampa Bay drafted him in the third round, I definitely knew he'd be in the league in 2 years because he had like 96 points in 40-some games last year.
He's sick. I seen him, I think he was getting some power play time there the other night with Tyler Johnson. Coeur d'Alene boy. Chill out. No, Point though, I like him. He moves the puck well, he skates well, he hits the net. He's a good old Western boy there. Can't complain. Sucks to not see Hedman in the lineup. Also, guys like Quick not going to be there. Taylor Hall. You hope they get better. That's bottom line. You hope that they do recover. It's going to be cool though. Mike Smith going to be getting the call in the All-Star game. That's he's had a great season in Calgary. He's had a really good season in Calgary there. Excited for him to get the chance. Other than that, you're saying that there's one guy just got thrown in the lineup that you're looking forward to watching.
Yeah, Brian Boyle. It's a really nice story.
That's a pretty cool one. He's had a He's had a pretty awesome year. I haven't watched too much of New Jersey, actually. I know he kind of came in pretty hot, actually. Like, he was firing on all cylinders. How's he been doing the past couple of months?
Okay. You know, he's one of those guys that you're not going to expect a ton of points from, but everyone says he's a great teammate. And, you know, he's a guy who plays against the other team's best players and plays on your penalty kill. And he's a good net front guy on the power play.
Hey, that's always a good thing, but that's gonna do NHL talk. We will we got a guest here. We're gonna bring on Chris Faber calling in. Faber, might as well bring him in now, and then when we come back, we'll get to some college hockey and stuff. But first, let's get Faber on the line. We got Chris Faber on the line now. Interview's brought to you by Intermind Sports. Faber, how's it going today?
Hey, Cody, I'm good, man. How about yourself?
Not too bad, not too bad. It is snowing like crazy outside, but other than that, you know, we're surviving here in the cold Midwest, you could say. You're out on the island, though, and, you know, you're the Vancouver Canucks specialist. You do some writing there for the Canuck Way, correct?
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah, thecanuckway.com. Just started with them a couple weeks ago, so it's been pretty nice so far. I mean, they're good guys there, and we got a good team so far. I really like it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Might as well throw in a quick plug there. But let's just jump right into it. You've been following the Canucks here this whole year. It's something who we don't really see too much of it out in Alberta. But a couple of guys obviously on a ridiculous tear. Besser and that. What, you want to just give me a basic overall of what you see from this team so far?
You basically covered it all right there, Brock Besser. He's been everything that we've liked. Everything we've really expected this season was. You know, at the start of the year, people were saying maybe Brock Besser can put out 20 goals and that would be awesome. A great rookie season. I don't think anyone was expecting. I mean, he's got 24 goals right now and just past the halfway point. He's really just blown out expectations in every way possible. He brought some to the power play that we really have not had in a long time. Even the Sedins, the way they used to kind of run the power play was just puck possession. But Brock Besser can really just bring that. You know, he brings the shot that we haven't seen in Vancouver for a long time. And he's definitely been the biggest story of the year. I mean, bar none, no one can really compete with that. But Thomas Vanek is the guy who really sticks out as well. I mean, brought in on September 1st as a free agent that no one really wanted. Every other team passed over him. We got him for $2 million. And I mean, a lot of Canucks fans right now are just kind of hoping that he can turn into a pick. And it's starting to look pretty good because, I mean, he's been producing. But, you know, I didn't really notice Thomas Vanek too much in the past couple of years. He just kind of was doing his thing. And having him on the team, you know, he brings a lot to the Vancouver Canucks, and he brings a solid leadership role as well, which is kind of funny because no one really expected that from him when we signed him in the offseason.
One thing I got from watching Thomas Vanek here the other night, you don't realize how, like, big and strong he is, on the ice. Like, he's a workhorse out there for the Canucks, and that is really something, like, you'd kind of expect for some of the other guys. But, just watching Vanek out there was very impressed. Obviously, Besser, that kid is skilled. He's a stud out there. You can definitely see why he got to make the jump early from college to the pros. He's definitely got true professional all over him. A couple of others there that are still doing good. You know, I can't say I like them. I hate almost everything about Sweden. But the Sedins, what do you think of their performance? And how the hell are they still playing?
You know what? They're just doing Sedin stuff. I mean, they're not very good on the back check right now. It's been definitely noticeable how bad their defensive game has dropped off in the past couple of years. But, and you know what? It's weird because, you know, everything just comes back to Besser because they've been producing on the power play again. I mean, the Canucks have one of the best power plays in the league, which is kind of crazy because, you know, we've been such a bad team for so long. But bringing in our new assistant coach, Noel Brown, he came in this past season. And he was kind of the mastermind behind the 2011 playoff team. You know, I don't really like talking about 2011 too much because that was a rough end for everyone in Vancouver.
You know, I know what's funny about that one is the guy I work with was actually out in Vancouver at the time and he was in the riots. Like, he was trying to get home and he was trying to go through the riots there. And then he's got a funny story. He stole a bottle of water. We'll get too into it. But yeah, he's like, that's the only thing I've ever stolen in my life. And I felt bad for it for like 2 weeks. And
well, it's better than funny. TV, I guess, man. It was wild there when the riots were going on, but we don't really want to get into too much of that, but I mean, no, like, the Sedins are still producing. I think that something that they bring to the game is just, you know, I mean, Henrik Sedin only has a couple goals this season. I don't think he scored a power play goal in over, I think it's like 92 games or something like that, So he's not really scoring a lot of goals. Daniel's not really doing it, but they're playing as kind of, you know, third to second line scoring players, which is, you know, and they're kind of in the, you know, they're in the sunset of their career, so they're kind of just tailing off, but they're still bringing some production to the lineup, so, and they're bringing a great leadership core. I mean, these guys have been there for 17 seasons, right? It's, you can't really, like, can't really push them out of town or anything, so we're just kind of riding the wave off with the Sedins, and everyone's, I mean, no one's really hating on them, because they have dropped off, obviously, from seasons in the past, but they're our boys, you know, they brought us to the Cup Final, they've been here for 17 years, they were chubby-faced gingers when they got here, now they're just running up crazy, I mean, they got the Grouse Grind over here, they run up mountains in the off-season, like, these guys are legit, they're rollerblading around Vancouver, apparently, so, you know, everyone in Vancouver loves them, and they have brought a little bit more this season. I think it's a little bit of a bounce-back season from last year. They've looked a lot better, they've looked a little bit quicker, but definitely a liability on defense. I know on the back check they're a lot slower getting back, but you know, they're getting old, and we're just kind of riding off into the sunset.
It happens, it happens. Now, on the back end, a quick one for you here. Yeah, I see Markstrom's obviously played a ton this year. Nielsen has been basically a backup for his whole stint in the NHL, but do you think Markstrom's going to be the guy going forward, or do you think they'll have to bring in someone else? I mean, I've never been a fan of Markstrom since the 09 World Juniors, where he was just an absolute plug for Sweden, but yet again, I mean, what's your thoughts on him?
I don't see Markstrom being a starter in the future. I think he's, right now, he's just a stopgap until Thatcher Demko comes through. Thatcher Demko has looked amazing in the AHL this year. I mean, he's really taken on the starting role as a professional, which is really nice to see. He's really stepped up, and, you know, in Vancouver here, we have a lot of good hopes for Thatcher Demko. With a really low goals against average right now at 2.28 in the AHL, he's just been everything that we really expected, and just kind of paying attention to some highlights I've seen and just kind of following, you know, Twitter on the AHL about the Utica Comets, he's really impressive. I mean, he plays a solid game. I know just last year watching him with the World Juniors, you know, he's a great player who can, you know, he plays in the right position all the time. He looks so solid. I think that's what we, you know, that's how we kind of just talk about Thatcher Demko. He's not flopping around out there. He's always in position. He's got a good body. Like, he's always in the right spot and just plays the game very well. And the big step that he's really taken in the AHL this year is very promising for all Canucks fans.
Shout out Thatcher. He's liking our Twitter posts there. So, hey, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I do agree. I love watching him play and everything. But I'd like to thank you for coming on here. Obviously, World Hockey Report with Cody Jans and Adam Ermentrout, joined with Chris Faber from the Canuck Way. Check out his work there. It's awesome. And thanks for joining us here, Chris. I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Yeah, most definitely, man. Thank you.
Thanks, as always, Faber, joining us. It's pretty cool. I talked a little bit of Canucks there. Get some insight from the West Coast. Now, big one. Major Juniors. Let's cover that one pretty quick. Mid-season draft rankings were out. Prospect game was also yesterday. I did a little blog on that earlier this week. I did all right. Thanks for reading wherever you are. World Hockey Report, WordPress. Check it out. We got some decent blogs there. Won't say good yet. They're decent. But, how I've got it ranked, skaters so far, just my opinion, but I mean, come on, Rasmus Dahlin, he's the perfect draft pick right now. Kid's a stud, guaranteed first overall. I liked Zadina. I mean, the Czech kid, he had a great performance at World Juniors. He was awesome at the CHL Showcase yesterday. Led Team Cherry to a win. Don Cherry's suit was absolute fire. That was awesome, but yeah. End of the day, I mean, Zadina's good. He's got a wicked shot. He's pro-ready. Third, I've got Brady Tkachuk. I don't know. Wasn't impressed with Svechnikov. If he goes fourth, I will be surprised. Won't be surprised to see him drop out of that top five. Andrei Svechnikov. I got Adam Boqvist and Isaac Lindstrom rounding out those. Goaltenders, Jacob Cherik from Czech Republic, solid World Juniors. This is probably a pretty weak goaltender draft day. Just looking at those, have you seen anyone that really stands out to you? Western League, Canadian League, College for goaltenders?
No, I haven't. Like, you know, every year, like even out west here last year, there was, you know, Stuart Skinner and Ian Scott, and out east, there is Michael DiPietro, who won the Memorial Cup and got picked by Vancouver, I think, in the third round, maybe. But yeah, there's definitely nobody this year who you look at and you're like, there's the guy.
Couple of guys, though, that are probably unknown would like to mention, I don't really see guys, that there's that Swift kid. I don't really see him going too high if they do Big Whoop. I really don't see. I can't imagine too many of these guys are going to be NHL prospects. But Anunin, the Finnish kid, I've got him at second. He's underrated. But the thing about him is he's unknown. He plays Junior A over in Finland. So realistically, I don't know. He's got a lot of unknown to him, and that's going to be the big thing. He's a big Finnish kid, and a few of them are comparing him to Pekka Rinne. I'm not going to say he's Pekka Rinne, but yeah. Anunin. And then Kucharski from Des Moines, former Buccaneers, shout out, another old team. Another one of Cody's former seven junior teams. I gave him a low grade.
Suitcase.
Yeah, it's the fun, the bus leagues, you know. Just love touring cities, going to different high schools. It's the life. But a little bit past that one now. Just enjoying the dream. Just enjoying the dream right now. I gave Kucharski a low grade. But the cool thing about him, though, another big kid played in the USHL. He's committed to Providence for 2019. Who I compare him to exactly. Not exactly. That's probably a bold statement. John Gillies in the Flames system, played USHL, went to Providence, played well there. I mean, grew, developed, got stronger, got better. And you know what? He's been a solid AHL goalie other than the injuries. I really think if teams are going to gamble on a goaltender, that's not a bad pick. Not a bad pick at all. There's my draft rankings. CHL top 10 rankings came out this week. What did you think?
The Sioux still look strong after their big trade deadline of mortgaging their future. And, you know, one of the Western League teams, Everett, they're an honorable mention this week, I think for the first time. And they've been on fire ever since Pilon and Bala got there and Hart got back from the World Juniors.
They're good. Yeah, they've never actually been ranked yet this season. They got 16 losses, which is kind of definitely the highest out of a top 10. Can't see them getting into. But there's been a couple of dub teams dropping. Swift drops, Kelowna drops. Moose Jaw stays at number 2. But realistically, where do you see the ceiling for that East? I know it's hard to predict, obviously, but seems like Regina is slowing down. I know they had their way with Saskatoon, but whoop-de-doo, congrats. It's Stoon. Hebig had a big game. Other than that, where do you see some of these teams kind of finishing top 10 come playoff time?
I think Everett will definitely be in the top 10, maybe like top 7 or something. You know, they've just been playing so well, and they're probably a favorite in that division. Maybe Everett, Regina. I'm still not too keen on them. They kind of got screwed at the deadline with their goaltending. But yeah, you know, I think Moose Jaw is still the best team. Goaltending might hurt them, or it might hurt them down the stretch, though.
I would 100% agree. Have loved watching the dub, though, recently. I know you cover a lot of the Blades there, but that Eastern Conference is electric and so much fun to watch. It's always cool there. Love watching the kids. Speaking of the kids, though, college hockey, holy, we are flying here time-wise. That's we are definitely getting close here to the latter half of the show. But let's fly through some college hockey here. Get your World Hockey Report Week 17 top five. Thanks, Witt's Nutrition and Performance again. Shout out Curtis Whitney. You know what? You're looking to get in shape. You're looking a meal plan, anything like that. Give him a shout. Witt's Nutrition and Performance. Hey, it's just going to help you, right? Those adult safe games. You know what? You want to be the best player out there. You want to be a point-per-game guy for your team. You gotta get in shape. That's a good start. Let's start World Hockey Report number 5, NCAA D1 rankings this week. Number 5, I got Northeastern. Kind of a disappointing weekend for them. You know what? They got off to a slow start against UMass. They split the weekend. Tough loss there Friday night, 3-0. They responded, though. That's I think they responded as a top five team would do, a big 5-0 thrashing of Cale Makar and UMass. Blues draft pick and Northeastern captain, Nolan Stevens. Bingo's a hat trick. Adam Gaudette and Dylan Sakura still tearing it up, though, 36 and 34 points. They have been electric for Northeastern. I think their top line is the reason why I've got them still in the top five. A lot of people didn't
They've got Providence this week. Providence, all right. Eric Foley's got 29 points. I'd say if Northeastern beats them, they stick in the top five, no doubt about it. Number four, St. Cloud State. They lost to Minnesota State. That was a tough one. I think this is kind of their last strike, though. Like, we've given them so many chances just to prove themselves to be a top team in the league, and they've just let us down, to say the least. They're a pretty electric team, though. Huge test coming up this week against Duluth. Robbie Jackson leading the way for St. Cloud, 24 points in 22 games. Duluth, no studs on their team. UMD's kind of just an all-around team. You ever been down to Minnesota? Have you seen some of those schools? It's pretty crazy down there.
The only school I saw was in Moorhead, Minnesota, and it was Concordia. I think it was a Div 3 school, but, you know, I could only imagine come hockey season where they sell out the XL Energy Center for high school tournaments. Like, it seems pretty crazy down there.
High school is crazy. We'll have to do a show on that. That'll be pretty sick. You know, maybe get some of the old vanilla boys on there. That's it's nuts. Minnesota high school hockey is ridiculous. And I really wish that they would kind of, I don't know. I don't think you could really do it in Saskatchewan. But yeah, Minnesota high school hockey is next level. It's awesome. Back to the countdown, though. Number three, Notre Dame. Not a Fighting Irish fan, if you haven't learned. Jake Evans has been sick, though. 29 points. Still think he might have got snubbed from the Team Canada team. He's great at the Spangler Cup. They split with Wisconsin. They got Minnesota this weekend. Casey Mittelstadt, give me your thoughts on him. Go.
Best hands in college hockey. I think that, you know, at the World Junior, some of the stuff he did was just, like, absurd. I think he's one of the best players for sure in college hockey. He hasn't had, like, an outstanding year numbers-wise, but a lot of prospects never do. You know, they kind of just, like, it takes a while to adjust. You know, it's really the third and fourth years to run that league, but I think he'll probably be a one and done, maybe go 2 years just because he's a little undersized, but definitely skilled.
Now, I know you love Jack Eichel there, but that's a guy I really compare to him. Great hands, good speed, good shot. I like Mittelstadt. I can't wait to see him actually play with Jack Eichel. So excited. Love watching him play. He's been good. 20 points in 24 games. Not having the best season. Had a slow start. Nonetheless, I'd love to see them knock off Notre Dame this weekend. That would be great. Number two, I bumped up Minnesota State after that huge win over St. Cloud, obviously. That was a pretty big one. Zeb Knutson, three-point night. Led the Mavs 5-2 win over the Huskies. It was impressive. They've got 18 wins this season. I mean, also, they got good net minding there. They were outshot by St. Cloud. I think Minnesota State's legit. Move them up to number two. See how they are this weekend. A pretty easy one. They got the under-18 development team. If they don't just absolutely blow them out, I'd be shocked. Number one, Cornell Big Red. Yes, Ivy League. Making the jump. They swept Colgate. And you remember talking about Colgate. We talked about Colton Point there. We did say it was going to be a low-scoring game, and it was 2-2-0 games. Like, talk about bore you to sleep. How much do you hate going to a 2-0 or a 1-0 game?
Kind of depends how many chances there are. Like, you know, I've seen a couple of great, like, you know, 1 or 2-0 games where there's chances back and forth and goalies stand on their head. But, you know, I once went to a 1-0 Flames and Ducks game, and it was the worst game of hockey I've ever seen, and the shots were like 22-19, and it was horrible.
That's pathetic. Yeah, low scoring NHL. I get it, the NHL wants to increase scoring, but yeah, yet again, you gotta give these goalies some credit. They are good. It's boring though. But for Cornell, they're really low scoring, they're really defensive, kind of like Clarkson, but their top scorer has 17 points in 19 games, not even a point per game guy. That's nuts. 17 points and you're leading the team. Well, ranking number one. A lot of other places have actually put them at number one as well. So, feeling pretty confident with this. They get a tough weekend. Donato and Harvard. Or Donato, whatever. He hits 20 goal mark. First guy. Going to be key for his team in Dartmouth. Devin Buffalo. Shout out Flin Flon Bombers. Flin Flon, middle of nowhere. It sucks. Buffalo, Hobie Baker nominee also. He's going to be their only chance if Buffalo can shut him out. ACHA D1, we are really running out of time now, so we're just going to fly through these. Sorry, ACHA, I mean. Number 5, Ohio State, pretty good one there. They got Robert Morris, Illinois. going to be a big one this weekend. Number 4, Lindenwood. Number 3, Liberty. I still like them. They're high scoring. They're an exciting team. Adrian, you know what? They've had a few pretty easy weeks here. Another one coming up. They've been good. Coburn's been sick up front. Number 1, Minot. We called it last week. We said they were going to absolutely dust Williston State. And yeah, they shit-pumped Willie. 7-1. So we were pretty right. They got Midland this weekend. They host the Henry Brothers. Shout out Missoula Maulers. Shout out Helena Bighorns. Pretty cool there. Henry Brothers in action. You know what? We don't really have time for much. New category, though. Who's packing their shit? We got this bunch of NHLers and other guys, just European guys on the move. We got one coming up from today. One NHLer, Cody McLeod from Nashville, claimed by New York. You might as well just pack your shit. Adam, who you got?
Lucic, hopefully.
Hopefully, wow. That's a bold statement. Another one, does this name ring a bell to you? Nathan Gerby.
Oh, like the little 5'5" or 5'4" guy.
Yeah, he doesn't have too much stuff to pack there, but Nathan Gerby. He is playing over in Switzerland there, Genève Servette. He's signed Columbus, so that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool one there. It's not a bad one-year deal for him. Cool to see. So that's going to be do it for this one. Pack your shit. New segment coming every week now, World Hockey Report. What's trending on Twitter? We had another pretty big week there. There was some cool stuff. Hey, our Anderson video, 612,000 views. Pretty incredible. Pretty awesome. Other than that, anything go pretty crazy this week? The Dubinsky thing was kind of messed. Join the boys from live from the 815. Gonna talk some Blackhawks. That was pretty fun. Cool guys. Jack Eichel slamming beers and slamming the Oilers. You had a bunch of hot takes there. The Austin Matthews picture. That was pretty funny. And then, yeah, just a bunch of blogs. Check it out. World Hockey Report. That's at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. On the Twitter. Check it out. Toss us a follow. Toss us a like. Whatever you do, we appreciate it. Couple of games coming up this weekend. Adam, any big ones you're looking forward to?
Probably be at the Saskatchewan Center all rinks or all weekend. Blades play Edmonton. Blades play Prince George. So two shitty teams in Edmonton and Prince George. And hopefully the Blades can get back on track with a couple wins here.
That's going to be a barn burner. I got a little list here for the weekend. You know what? Probably going to be a hockey one for me. It's snowing like just nuts out there. I even see the car in the parking lot out my window. I can see it getting buried in snow. So good luck. Janner's not leaving the house for anything. WHL, Everett and Seattle. That's going to be a good one. Everett, as we said, they are just making that climb. They're playing unreal. NCAA, St. Cloud and Duluth. It's going to be a good matchup. St. Cloud looking for some revenge. Duluth looking to prove they're legit. ACHA, Ohio, and Robert Morris, Illinois. That's a 5-6 matchup. See who's actually worth going for the top 5. I know it's been debated there. ACHA, Ohio versus Robert Morris. 2 games. That's in Robert Morris. Going to be interesting. That's going to do it, though. Friday, January 26th on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. Adam, any last thoughts?
Not a whole lot, you know, keep telling your friends about us, we're getting bigger, and, you know, just think, when you want to look back at World Hockey Report, when, you know, we're this big company, you can say to yourself that you were there when it started.
That is very true. We are growing. That's over 3,600 followers on Twitter. Not bad, not bad. Check out the website, though, worldhockeyreport.wordpress.com. Check it out. We got some new merch on there. We got sweaters. We got beer mugs. We got coffee mugs. I don't even remember. There's a bunch of cool stuff on there. Go check it out. I know Adam's been drooling over it. I have as well. Hey, we'll get some cool stuff. You know what? Hey, get us up to 5,000 followers this weekend. By Sunday night. Sunday night at midnight Eastern time. And Adam's going to pose new sweaters. Naked photo shoot for the website. Get us up to 5,000 followers. That's a deal right there. World Hockey Report, Cody Jansen, Adam Ehrmantraut. As always, Adam, thanks for joining me. Same time, same place, Friday, 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 12 Ounce Sports Radio. See you then.